Have you can take notes on the back of your bulletin this morning. As you can see, I'm sitting down, and I had this Thursday, I had new tread put on my tires. It's basically what I'm calling it. Yeah, but I'm talking about storms today, and this is a storm that I created myself. How many of you ever created a storm yourself? I did my own storm. Was about 4 years ago, Taya, it was when she was finishing up college. She was a college athlete, softball player, and she told me, she said, "Dad, in the off season, I want to lift weights." And I said, and so I got her hooked up with a guy out of Elk City lifting weights, and it was a gym. And I've learned something about gyms. Every gym has its own culture or its atmosphere. Well, this particular gym was all about powerlifting. So I go in there, and I'm not quite fitty yet. I was 46, but I'm lifting with guys that are half my age. And, you know, testosterone gets to going, the competition gets to going, and so I'm trying to keep up with these guys. And so for whatever reason, I'm trying to deadlift 500 pounds. And, you know, something gives. Either the weight gives or your body. And my body gave, and it was my meniscus. And thank God that was all that it was, and it was just a little slight tear. It's amazing that one little thing in your knee, how it makes everything go. And so I'd put it off for 4 years, and I finally told Jazz, like, I got to get something done about this because we're out walking. Jay and I have started this walking, and she's always beating me. I can't stay up with her, and I'm blaming it on my knee. So we'll see if the knee gets healed up if I can keep up with her. But it was really neat. They went in there with three little deals. It's amazing what they can do in surgery now, and they did it in 18 minutes. So pray for speedy healing and recovery, amen? So that's why I'm going to be sitting down today. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 69 and Mark chapter 4. And the title of this message is The Perfect Storm. This is actually going to be a two-part series this Sunday and next Sunday. And I'll talk a little bit about that here in just a little bit, about where all this came from. I want to start off by reading the first scripture is in Psalms chapter 69, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God." And so this is a prayer of somebody that's in a storm, a real life storm that they're in life. And not like a physical storm, but an emotional, a spiritual storm, you know, a mental storm. And, you know, I heard a pastor say this one time, and it's so true. He said, in life, you're either going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And I thought, that is so good. Storms are a part of life. The Bible says in John 16, verse 33, that in this world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have storms. But then he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so, you know, today, and I've talked to several people this past week that are in storms. Our nation's in a storm. There's so many storms going on around us. You may be in a storm of sickness. You may be in a relational storm. You may be in a financial storm. I know of many right now, the financial storms due to the oil and gas industry just plummeting in this area, praying for that to come back. And or you may be in a crisis of faith storm. I've been there before as well. Or you might be in a good old Western Oklahoma, what I call a crap storm. All right, I'm going to throw some redneck in there today. And in the Bible, there's two gospel accounts where there were perilous storms on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples feared for their lives. And the disciples were experienced fishermen. And Jesus was with them, but his presence did not instantly end the danger. I want you to think about that for just a second. Jesus was with them, but his presence did not instantly end the danger. They were desperate for his protection, yet they were uncertain of his love. And the inner storm that this caused was even worse than the storm itself. We're going to look at this in Mark chapter 4. And so if you're taking notes today, or if you want to post and tweet this, this is kind of where I'm coming from on these two gospel accounts. And they're both standalone messages. This we're going to go in chronological order. This is the first one. And this is basically the story. Most of you know it if you've been around church any length of time. This is where Jesus is asleep on the boat. All right? And his disciples have to wake him up. But if you're taking notes or you want to post and tweet this, the perfect storm is when you know that the Lord is with you and he's working on your behalf, even if you don't see him, feel him, or hear him. I'm going to say that again. The perfect storm is when you know that the Lord is with you and he's working on your behalf, even if you don't see him, feel him, or hear him. And so we're going to look at this in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus calms the storm. And starting in verse 35, it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' It says, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet,' or 'Peace, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm, and he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?'" And so as I was studying this, and I know most of I look around here, most of you have been in church, you've heard this story before. But I'm going to pull out five truths, all right? Not 3 points, but five. So on the back of your bulletin, you can take 5 points. Five truths from this storm about Jesus. And here's the first one. I think the first one is the biggest one that we need to realize. Jesus, here's the first one, number one, five truths from the storm. Number one, Jesus is really not asleep. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is not asleep. Okay, you might be saying, well, he is in this story, right? Well, yeah, he was in this story. But right now, in your life, he's not asleep. You may have came in here today thinking, I'm in a storm and I feel like God is asleep, that the Lord's asleep. I'm telling you, he is not asleep. Sometimes it seems that Jesus sleeps through some of our storms as well, especially when they go on for years. Amen? Jesus, and this is what we have to realize in this story, we see that Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully human. And when you read the backstory of this in Mark chapter 4, Jesus had been teaching all day. He was tired. He was physical like us. Even though he was God in the flesh, he came like one of us. So he was tired, he was wore out emotionally, mentally, and physically, and he was ready to take a nap. Sometimes you just need to take a nap, right? I call it a knack. You need a nap and a snack to go together, a knack. Sometimes you just need a knack, right? And then you'll be okay. Well, that's what was going on with Jesus. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. And this is so encouraging because, guys, he came as one of us. And he is literally in the same boat with us. He knows us. He understands the frailty of our flesh. And he also understands the limits of our bodies and our souls. He understands all those things. And he's really not asleep. He's at work on your behalf. And I've got a couple of scriptures to go with this truth for you out of Psalms chapter 121, verses 3 through 4. It says, "He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you. Will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." And then in Deuteronomy, this is an Old Testament scripture, and it's also in the New Testament. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, and Hebrews 13, verse 5, "He will never leave you nor forsake you." Some of you need to put that on your refrigerator, put it in your vehicle, and just, you know, get that in your spirit. He will never. Now, the enemy comes and lies to you like, where's God at? Where's he at? What's going on? That's where you have to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We know by faith that the Lord is with us. There's the apostle Paul had many, if you've ever studied his life, he had many storms in life. I'm talking really, he was actually in a physical storm, but he was beaten. There was all kinds of things that happened to this man. And we're sitting here today, he wrote, you know, close to two-thirds of the New Testament for us, and we're studying his gospel today, right? I mean, it's just amazing. The storms that he went through are being given out. What he went through is being shared with all of us today. And I love this, what he came up with in Romans chapter 8, inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, some of my favorite scriptures in the Word. And the Apostle Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the Apostle Paul. I love that. "And there is no storm that can remove either God's presence or his love from you." That is some good news today, guys. Very good news. Okay, here's number two. This goes along with number one. Jesus is really not asleep. And this is the second truth from the storm that we see in this story, is Jesus is in your boat. And this just means what I just said a while ago. He came here in the flesh, and he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the temptations. He knows everything, spirit, soul, and body, what we all go through. And I love this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace and confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." He is our high priest, and he's been through. He's in your boat, I promise you. He knows exactly everything that you've gone through and what you're going to go through. Okay, here's number three, this third truth from the storm. Don't wait until your boat is about to sink to call on Jesus. That needs to be your first thing. Here's the deal. In our fallen nature, we try to figure everything out ourselves, and then we go to God. So, "God, I tried everything, and nothing's working." He's like, "Why didn't you come to me first? We could have bypassed all this stuff." I've done it. If you're alive, you've probably done it too. But don't wait to call upon the Lord. Do it immediately. In this story, when you go back and read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and man, there's so much you can just glean from this. It says that Jesus, in verse 38, was in the stern. He was sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, I want you to stop and think about this. This is one of these deep thinking moments, all right? By the time they finally awakened Jesus, they were sure that he no longer loved them or cared for them. That's a dangerous place to get to in your walk with God. So you need to call upon him first, not last. Look at somebody and say, "Call first, not last." All right, waiting to come to God only worsens and lengthens our suffering. Why do we wait? Why do we wait to come to church? Why do we wait to go to God? It's human nature. It's that fallen human nature, but reverse that and start doing it first. Don't wait until your boat is about to sink to call on Jesus. And here's the scripture that goes with this is Psalms 32, verses 6 through 7. It says, "Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." God is basically saying, call to me. Call to me. Pray to me. Come to me first. All right, here's number four, the fourth truth from the storm. Jesus is way more powerful than you think. I love it. I mean, I've done it. We put God in a box a lot of times. And we know the end of the story here of these disciples. These guys were experienced fishermen. And they'd been out there and they'd had these squalls before and storms and different things. But they were definitely terrified for their life. And so they were waking Jesus up, not to, I don't know if they thought he would do a miracle or anything. I think they were just saying, "We're going to get this dude an oar. I'm sick and tired of seeing him sleep." They really didn't know who Jesus was at this time. They're still learning about who he is. By the way, in every storm you go through in life, you're going to learn a little bit more about the Lord in every storm that you're in. And so they were learning something here, and I really believe that they were like, "Well, he needs to get up and carry his weight a little bit. He needs to help us row here." But what they didn't realize what he was going to do is get up and say, "Peace be still." And the whole place just went calm, deathly calm. And so Jesus is way more powerful than you think. Jeremiah 33:3. I've been in storms before, guys, where I've tried to figure out, if you're like me, the reason thing starts and you're like, okay, God, this is how you're going to do it. And if you did this and did that and did this, man, that would be perfect. God, I know what you need to do. If you'll just do it, here's my to-do list. If you'll just do it just like this, then everything will turn out. And God's just like, I'm going to show you things you hadn't even thought of. And I'm going to blow your mind. And this is Jeremiah 33:3. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." There is, God's got all the wisdom in the universe to help you with whatever storm that you're in. And he wants you to come to him for that wisdom. Another great scripture in the New Testament is Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us." God is way more powerful than you think. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is way more powerful than you think. He's got answers that you've never even thought of yet. His ways are higher than our ways. And I'm getting through this pretty quick, guys, so this is going to be I think it was Clark today was asking me, is this going to be a short sermon or a long sermon? I said, well, I don't know. It may be short. So we're getting right through it. Pain pills aren't affecting me any. That's good. Thank you, Lord. All right, here's number five. Truths from the storm. Number five, no storm is random or without purpose. All right? I'm just going to be honest with you as a pastor. I don't understand all this, how that everything is Father filtered. I mean, that's a mystery to me. But that's where faith comes in, that we have to, God, by faith, I believe you're going to work all this out for my good. I don't understand it right now. I don't know why this happened, but I'm just trusting you that you're working this all out for my good. Now, I'm going to show you a few things here that are going on during a storm. Like I said earlier, you're learning about yourself, and you're also learning about God in a storm. Now, let me back up. Back to Mark's message that he preached a few weeks ago. It's a choice. I mean, you can just sit there and cry, whine, and complain in a storm and not learn anything. But I want to learn and grow from it and let it be that miracle grow for me, you know, in my walk with God. And so it's all how you respond and how you interact with God. And God will start showing you things about yourself, but he'll also start showing you things about him. They learned that day that this man named Jesus is God of all creation. He stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And they were like, whoa. Can you imagine that, guys? Immediately, vroom, calm. You know, it's like, give me the top water lure, Peter. Let's go talk. All right. Maybe that was pain medicine. I don't know where that came from. All right, here. Then go fishing. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. I love these scriptures. This says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, storms, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." It's just amazing how God does this, but whatever storm you're going through, the purpose of it is God wants to make you basically a storm rescuer, and go help somebody else in their storm. And that you can tell them a little bit about God and what God did for you in your storm. I'm going to pick on Carmen this morning. We met with Carmen this week, and we were sharing about our storms that we've been in, and we've been helping. She doesn't realize this. She thinks that Jay and I are helping her, but she's helping us as well. We receive that comfort from one another, and that's just how God wired it. And it's so awesome how God does that. And then here's the last scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And our storms are somehow mysteriously preparing us for all of eternity." Yeah. And it's so hard, because when we're in a storm, That's all that we can see is that storm right there. We can't even see tomorrow, you know, much less eternity. But that's what the Apostle Paul said, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Man, that's deep, guys. Selah, that means think about it. And that's the perfect storm. Everybody learn something today? Those five truths, all right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure before we leave today, I do this every Sunday, make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And because he's the one, he's the captain. He's the one that gets us through the storms of life. And you got to surrender your life to him and make those right choices and let him lead and guide and direct you by his Holy Spirit. And he wants to do that. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we'll believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love this because it doesn't say you have to get your act cleaned up and all that. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. He just says, what I need you to do right now is confess, believe, and call upon my name. And so I want to lead you in this prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to sit down. Jade, I'm going to have you come up here, and I want to speak a blessing over you. Did everybody learn something today? Amen. The five truths coming out of that storm, and we're going to look at the next storm next Sunday. But I want to speak this blessing over everyone here today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. And remember, in the storm, always look to him. Call upon him first. Love you guys. If you want to say hi to me, come up here because I can't walk back there. Love y'all.